Welcome to another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bikepackers. We're here today, episode 23, I think. I was looking back. I think last episode was 22. This would be episode 23. And we thought while the iron was hot, we would strike and try to get another episode out. Today, though, the topic of discussion is a roll-off and Gates belt drive.
Yeah.
So, for those who might not know what a roll-off hub is or Gates belt drive, mm-hmm. Let's start, though, first with the roll-off.
Okay.
How would you describe it?
It's an internal gear hub, I'd say.
So, as opposed to having, you know, a chain ring that goes back to multiple different... Cassettes, or mm-hmm. a cassette with multiple different chain rings on it. It's kind of like a, almost like a transmission for your bike, right? Like
yeah.
It goes on the rear wheel.
Yep.
And that would be, it's different than, say, the transmissions that are kind of built into the cranks.
Yeah.
In the frame. In that you don't have to have a special frame necessarily.
Right.
There are some qualifications to this. But you don't have to have a special frame to put a roll-off on.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of this equation is you have the option, if you do a roll-off style, to either use a chain or what's becoming more popular, you're seeing a lot more, is a belt drive.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just start with the roll-off first. I don't want to get too sidetracked with the Gates drive because not everybody's going to do that. Some people are going to use a traditional chain.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, carry on with the roll-off. You decided to do a roll-off. You got Salsa Fargo.
Yep. Yep. And I've been real happy with it.
So, what was the decision process, first off, of why you thought about doing a roll-off?
You got to really want one because it's expensive. And so, what really got me was its reputation for being maintenance-free and dependable. Because I always have trouble with my derailleur, my cassettes, you know, chain acting funny all the time. So, because, you know, I mean, I ride a lot. I ride a lot of different terrain, mud, sand, weeds, whatever. And, you know, even on the Katy Trail, all the fine dust. I mean, that really does a number on external components.
Yeah, limestone.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It gets in the chain and... You have to clean it, you lube it, you do all the things, you still have the issues. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What are we talking about cost-wise for just a roll-off, roughly? What
did you say? Yeah, it's about $1,600.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, it is expensive.
So that's, in and of itself, that's the price of an expensive bike.
Right. Right. Yeah. And along with that comes some specific requirements, too, right? Like a wheel that has to be sort of... Spoked for it because it's different. Spokes go right to the roll-off.
Yeah, the diameter of the hub is bigger.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you got to almost custom build a wheel.
Yeah.
Which means you got to have a rim sitting around or buy a new one. And there's labor in that. So that takes the price north of $1,600.
Right. Yes. Yeah. All right. So I'm looking across the table from me. There's a list of pros and cons. These are often discussed, mm-hmm. I know, by the keyboard warriors of the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's work through and talk about kind of how you wanted to roll through this.
Yeah. Well, I thought I would just think of it that way. You know, there's a list of pros and cons, but not every item on the list matters the same to a given cyclist. And I tried to think of what's important to me, and I looked around, see what other folks are spouting on the internet. And so on the plus side, you know, reliable and durable really is, and I can confirm this because I'm tough on my components.
I'll confirm that he's tough on stuff as well. But this is basically a transmission that has, you know, it has gears inside of it, but it's all sealed.
Right.
It's kind of packed in oil. There's oil in it that does have to be serviced, what, every 5,000 miles or something?
Yeah, they say about every 5,000, but it's hard to really keep track of it. So you know.
It's a guesstimate.
Yeah.
And depending on how much the person rides or whatever.
Yep.
All right. Carry on. Reliability and durability. Those are two big things, because a person who cycles a lot can wear out a cassette.
Oh, yeah. And I have.
You have, right.
And you can wear out one single gear on a cassette if you spend, like, particularly the small ones.
Yeah.
Because think about it. They're going through more revolutions.
Sure.
And so they just wear down over time.
Yeah.
And I had, before I made the switch, twice, I think, I wore down a couple of the gears. It just kept slipping.
Yeah.
I took it to the bike shop, and I said, why is it slipping? You adjust it, and it doesn't change. And they finally said, you know, I think it's just your chain gets worn, and your gears get worn.
And we all have kind of the magic gear areas that we tend to spend a lot of our time, depending on if you ride a similar route a lot, you'll be in, you know, kind of those, probably the middle gears most of the time, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, for most people.
Yeah. And it depends on where you live. If you commute, you might be doing a few hills. You'll get a few more of those hill climbing gears, you know. So.
Now, the roll-off that you have, just for sake of reference, is it 14 gears?
Yeah, 14.
And then you can adjust the sprocket, whether it be belt or chain, both on the your main crank, but also on the roll-off itself.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I talked to them when I made the switch about the range I had on my 2x setup, and they actually called Walt's called Cycle Monkey out of the West Coast and said, this is what we've got. We want to double check and make sure that, you know, that you have about the same range. And they did. And yeah, I think it's about what I need. You know, I mean, I can climb most hills without too much trouble. And, you know, I top out, but I don't probably need to go any faster than I can.
Yeah. So there's a calculation that they can do based upon how the roll-off itself is geared and then what different tooths. Mm-hmm. Sprockets you'll need, or belt drive, I guess, if you're doing that.
All right. And the chainstay length, they'll tell you what size belt to get.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, it's sealed, and that's important when you're riding around a lot of dust and moisture all the time. It's easy to change gears, like, many at one time. You know, you can pause, and you can go from 1 to 14.
And you can even do so kind of sitting still.
Yeah, you can just sit there at the, you know, stand still at the stop sign and crank it down.
Yeah. So it's really, in that regard, that's nice, because you can adjust a gear without the fear of what's going to happen, without having to turn the sprocket or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice. That feature is something I didn't anticipate I would like so much. And they're, the gears are kind of equally spaced. So between every set of gears, it's pretty much the same jump percentage-wise. So it's not like, you know, sometimes you'll be cycling through your gears if you have a 2 or 3x, and you'll get some that are just about the same. And it's, you know, it seems like an awkward jump. But these are pretty consistent.
Yeah.
It's hard to get it to skip. You know, it's all internal, so there's not a whole lot that really goes wrong. the spokes are shorter, which is supposed to be stronger. Then again, they're not as common. You can't just run out and get some.
Right.
So there's a little bit of that too. Something I didn't really appreciate until I started reading about people that have had other chain failures is this is a straight inline, a chain line, whether it's a belt or a chain.
Right. Your chain is not moving back and forth at different angles, which can lead to weird wear points on the chain too, right?
Yeah.
So if you're at an angle a lot, it'll wear on one side more than the other, which in turn wears on the actual sprocket itself on one side or another.
Probably contributes to, you know, broken links and chain failure, you know, and then you got to do a repair.
Broken teeth on the chain ring, maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's nice too. But I think because the belt is rigid in that dimension, in that direction, you do much twisting on it in any other way, and it might actually break.
Yeah.
I've read about people experiencing that.
I bet as a result, the people who do actually opt for the chain over the belt probably get a longer chain life because it's perfectly aligned straight all the time.
I would think so.
So it probably wears longer on a single chain.
And it's not shifting.
Because it doesn't move.
Yeah, there's nothing going on. Yeah. So I'm sure that probably, you know, counters the argument of belt longevity a little bit, I would think. And you know, it's got a wide range. They say it's 526% different from speed 1 to 14, evenly spaced at 13.6. So, you know, it's a pretty wide range. It's just about all that I would ever need. Sometimes if I'm really going on a flat surface, going downhill a little bit, and I really want to be stupid and go faster, I could use a little bit more on the top end, but I don't need to.
Yeah, it's adequate for most everything.
For me, yeah.
And then you felt like it's low enough for climbing that it's been fine.
Yeah, yeah, I've been fine with that. I was a little worried at first, but, you know, we've ridden pretty heavily loaded, and I think the limit is probably not that. The limit is terrain or looseness of the the incline, or whether or not I feel like I want to ride that hill.
The legs.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't think it's necessarily the...
If it'll survive Big Bend Ranch State Park, probably it'll survive anything.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
That was a crazy terrain.
Yeah, that qualifies as stupid.
Okay. That's a good list of pros. Is there more in that pro list?
No, that's pretty much it.
You compiled. I think that's a pretty good...
You said you can shift sitting still. That's important, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good. So obviously we can talk about the cons, and I know the number one con that probably almost everybody's going to say is cost.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to,
it's expensive.
You got to really want it, and it's got to be attainable. You know, I was fortunate to be able to get one, and you don't put them on just any bike. You probably have a pretty pricey bike that has some other features that justify this kind of, you know.
Yeah. I guess one could, and this is on your list of cons, but you probably need a bike shop to help you with it, unless you're a super good at calculating spoking wheels.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. You're probably going to need a local bike shop to help you out, maybe, potentially.
I think so. I know I probably wouldn't have taken the plunge if I didn't have Waltz right down the street. And,
yeah.
And they're really good.
Agreed. I think that makes a huge difference, having somebody you trust that can not only help you pick out all the right components and do the calculations, but then, you know, lace up a wheel and all that stuff. And I know there are guys out there, and maybe you, our listener, are one of those, but a lot of people do lace their own wheels, but that's a special type of person that wants to take the time and effort to lace and true a wheel and have all the tools and stuff to do that, especially with custom spoke length.
Yeah. And feel like you did a good job. You know, I would not have the confidence to do that.
You know. Yeah, the last thing you want to do is get on the backside of Big Bend Ranch State Park and find out that your wheel failed because you didn't really know what you were doing lacing it up, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's a rough hike out.
Yeah, it's a lot at stake in some of those.
What are the other cons?
It's also kind of heavy.
That's true.
It's a little heavy.
Yeah. You
know? There's a lot, it's dense. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of metal in there. There's oil in there.
And fluid, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And you do have to have the oil changed, a little bit of maintenance. It's not like, it's not as much as a cassette, but, you know, you do have to pay attention to it.
That's something you can do yourself, right?
You can. Again, I take it into Waltz, and I say I'm taking Gertie in for a spa day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can usually have him look over some other stuff. I have had to have I did break a spoke a while back. So, two of them, in fact. And so they worked on that for me. And, you know, if you want to do the belt drive, you got to have a split frame, or you've got to be comfortable having someone void the warranty.
That's something we should talk about. So if we step into talking about the belt, you opted for the Gates belt drive. And for listeners that might not be familiar, that's kind of a belt that it reminds you, if you're familiar with Harley-Davidson motorcycles that have belt drives also, it's kind of similar to that, but it's bicycle-centric. It's a belt drive that has a kind of a groove or a tongue, maybe would be the more accurate. I guess the sprockets have the groove and the belt has a little tongue to it that's in the center of the belt that keeps the belt centered on the sprockets.
Yeah.
And also is cogged, if you want to think of it, for its ability to get grip on the sprockets, almost kind of chain-like in that regard. But I guess there are pros and cons to that too that we could talk through, but the idea is that a belt would last longer than a chain, that it would require less maintenance, it would have actually less stretch is what they claim, Gates claims.
Yeah.
That doesn't require as much retensioning or readjusting or anything like that. And they're saying 30,000 miles is kind of the stated range, I think I've heard.
So,
yeah.
And I'm sure I've come up on and maybe past 10,000 miles, I think. I was trying to find a way to calculate that and figure out how much I've done, how much I've ridden on it.
Right.
I don't have all my rides logged, I don't think so.
But one of the things that you have to have available to do this is to really do it is to have a split frame style design. Yeah. So the Salsa Fargo, and not a lot of people realize this, that the Fargo was built from the very beginning down by the dropout to have a frame split there that allows a belt to be easily put on, because unlike a chain, you can't take a master link out and put it back together after you put it on. And if you're in the field, you certainly don't want to have to, you know, do some crazy stuff. So
yeah,
the dropout on the Fargo is one of the nice ways to be able to do that. And I think it's probably one of the reasons that people do opt oftentimes for a chain drive with a roll-off is just because they don't want to have to do the frame split. Because the alternative is if you don't have a bike that has it, you've got to take it or send it somewhere and have someone actually braze on a frame split.
Yeah.
Which you can do. They do sell those and you can send it to someone, but then it's, of course, avoiding anything to do with the warranty, but also then you've got, you know, a place that you're going to have to paint and touch up and all that stuff. So you can get it done, but it's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's costly.
And I've never felt that part of the design is a problem on the bike. I mean, I've put it through some real abuse.
No, I think it, yeah. So, I think it's very sturdy. It seems like Salsa's done a great job with that. And the Fargo is like built with this idea really kind of in mind.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll come back to the belt drive a little bit maybe, but carry on.
It's noisy at times.
Oh, the roll off is.
Some of the gears are noisy. Yeah. It doesn't bother me because, you know, some of the freewheels are, it's like a helicopter going by. But what's funny is the difference in the different gears, how switching, you know, shifting one gear can really change it. It has to do with the planetary gear system inside. And you can look at those cutaway models online. It's kind of fascinating, but it can be kind of noisy. Hmm. And if you're not used to it, you might be asking yourself, is there something different? Is it too noisy? Is something wrong? I've just pedaled on through it, and it always gets me where I want to go.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little more friction, too, relative to the to a traditional chain drive. People argue about it online. And maybe I perceived some of that. I think
that probably goes hand in hand with the noise. The noise and the friction are probably the similar things that are happening back there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, got more metal, you know, in a small space. They're limited shifting mechanisms too. It's pretty much a twist shift. Other people have sold aftermarket things. Some people have really fashioned their own workarounds. I just used the twist shift that it came with. I just relocated it.
Yeah. That's pretty much the standard though, right? That they recommend as a twist shift, which is different a little bit. And depending upon your handlebar setup, I have seen aftermarket twist shifts that and different styles that people put on drop bars or flat bars, but it does sort of require that you have that in a certain kind of spot.
Yeah, and it took a little getting used to, but at first I really didn't like the twist shift, but now it's just second nature to me.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, is when your hands are sweaty, if you get that shifter worn a little bit, it can be, you know, if you're tired and fatigued and sweaty and you got to shift. Sometimes I've actually had trouble getting enough friction on that in the middle of the summer.
I've seen a couple of companies have made aftermarket versions of that, and they've made them out of a knurled aluminum for that very reason, I'm sure, is because that knurling on there gives it some grip, you know?
Yeah. I thought about maybe even just getting some.
Because it's kind of rubber, right? The one you have is a rubber. But it does have raised indentions. I'm trying to think how to explain it to people, but
yeah, it's almost like a twisted ridge, you know. And 90% of the time, it's fine or more. But again, it's when I'm fatigued and tired and sweaty.
You find it gives you any issues with gloves or anything, or is it fine?
Gloves usually help. Usually okay. It seems like the fabric that I happen to be using. In fact, I've used a microfiber towel to just help me shift when I'm, I think this may be one of the issues on the Hotter Than Hell 100. It's like, I was so sweaty and tired. And I just used my little sweat rag. And it
gave you something to get some grip on it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the other thing, too, is, you know, if something does go wrong, your ride's probably over. you're gonna
right.
be and you're gonna be sending it off to get it repaired. That's
there's getting a replacement is quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a specialty item, but yeah. You know, I think that goes hand in hand with the reliability factor. If it wasn't reliable,
mm-hmm.
then that would be a greater issue. But I'd say there, not that there haven't been failures, but I mean, it's kind of unusual.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't really encountered anyone. There are some in town. You know, Waltz has several customers with the roll-offs, and so I haven't heard of anything catastrophic happening. But if something happens, it might be catastrophic, because then you're pretty much you're hiking.
You're walking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other thing is shifting under load. You really can't do. So you pretty much have to stop pedaling momentarily to shift. Exactly the opposite of a traditional shift.
So a little bit of a pause.
Yeah.
Is that something that you just get used to and then you don't even think about it?
Yeah, I've gotten entirely used to it. It doesn't bother me at all, but I can see if I were really a racing-minded cyclist, I might have more of a problem getting over it. And I honestly, I've gotten to where I'm, and I even have to move my hand to shift because I've relocated the shifter, but I haven't had many problems mid-climb, you know, shifting.
That's what I was thinking. It'd be the biggest issue would be in a climb, maybe.
Yeah.
I had to downshift.
Yeah. But again, I'm not racing either. You know, as long as I get to the top, I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
I haven't had any problems with that. So that and just having the wheel built for it, those in my list of cons.
Yeah. Let's talk briefly about the roll off. I'm sorry, the Gates belt drive, though, the Gates belt itself, because you've had a little bit of experience with that. And I've seen a few people. I'm thinking of Ryan Van Duzer. He had an issue with his Gates drive one time. Gates drive one time. It was now he was on more of the traditional front transmission style frame instead of the roll off, but it was a Gates drive regardless. He was in like super muddy conditions, mm-hmm. and the belt popped off.
Yeah.
What kind of experience have you had, if any, with things like belt issues?
I've had only two things happen, and it's the same belt. I didn't break it. but I was in really muddy conditions also. It was irresistible. I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things after the Katy Trail had been so flooded, and I wasn't supposed to be where I was, but I'm going to go anyway. And I had mud everywhere. And what happened was in every one of those spaces on the belt between the little humps or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Mud just piled up. Mud, rocks, gravel, you know. And it also filled in the midline groove so that it wasn't seated anymore. And if that happens for enough revolutions, I think it slid on the rear cog. It slid a little bit lateral, but it didn't come off. It just stayed there. And it had a little bit of lateral tension like a chain would. So in retrospect, you know, I'm a little concerned if that happens again. Is that going to be enough to break it? But it seemed like it gave me a little bit of resistance, a little bit of noise. And then when I noticed it, I was mid-ride. I couldn't really clean it off or anything. So I just rode it back like that. And then finally, I got it sort of cleaned up. And I didn't want to mess with that. I took it in the bike shop. And they just loosened up the tension and put it back on for me. And, you know, cleaned it out, and it was fine. But I think that's really the issue. And that's why they have those grooves in the center, I think, is to try and keep it there.
It keeps the belt aligned and keeps it on the the cogs.
But enough debris, I think it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And one time I don't know, I was at a stoplight and I was going to try to cross with the traffic and I didn't downshift and I tried to push through and I was too high of a gear and it did pop off. It came off. It didn't break, but it did come off.
Huh.
Which had never happened. It makes me wonder if I had the tension wrong, because I was really surprised by that.
That's something to talk about, too, is that this does have to be at a kind of a pretty predetermined tension, I guess, so to speak, is they have a recommended tension.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it is that apparently there's kind of an app that many people use to do it by the sound that it makes. Is that right? Like a phone app?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've downloaded it and tried it. I think it has to be clean. It has to be quiet, you know. There are a couple different harmonics I think it'll catch, you know. But I don't know. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just playing around.
So it's the bike shop tension.
Yeah.
Tension.
Yeah.
That you,
and they have a tensiometer, too, that you can put on the belt and push down. It'll give you a readout or something.
Gotcha. What kind of maintenance is involved in that belt? Like, do you have to lubricate it, clean it? I mean, what's the...
Well, I think that's actually a matter of some debate. I think Gates, the company, says you really shouldn't need to lubricate these things. Just keep them clean, free of debris.
How do you clean it?
Just a little brush, water. You know, just you can put some soap, but I really don't. I just hose it, and then just get a brush, and you know, while you're turning it, just really kind of scrub it out.
Yep.
And then also the cogs on both the rear and the front ring. But I have used silicone spray. That's what they recommended. I'd try if it got a little noisy.
I was going to say, is it noise that indicates that, or is there anything in particular that makes you think, oh, I need to clean this, or is it just...
Probably noise, and maybe I might get all up in my head and think it's a little bit more resistance, but then again, I'm not sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is kind of strange because it will, unless you're used to it, it'll feel a little bit different sometimes when you're pedaling, and then you're thinking, is it because maybe my tires are a little underinflated? You know, so I don't mess with it. I don't air my tires up very often.
Yeah.
I wait until I'm just really kind of experiencing a problem and I'm a lazy tire maintainer.
Yeah. Me too, actually.
So
I measure mine by giving them a squeeze.
Yeah.
As if it feels kind of soft, like, I probably should put some air in that. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm kind of clean with it.
Yeah. It's kind of dumb. I don't know. But that's what I do. So I conclude sometimes erroneously that it might need some lubricant on the belt.
So all in, what are you thinking you have in it, cost wise?
Oh, the
for the roll off, the Gates drive, the labor, all that stuff. What would you guess? Just ballpark.
You know, I bet it's probably $2,000. That's what I've done it all.
That's what I would guess. I'd probably say a couple thousand dollars. Which for some people, I realize that could be more than their bike.
Yeah, no, and I don't criticize anybody for saying, "Man, to heck with it."
Yeah.
Right. Not at all.
I mean, anything that gets you out there riding. But if you're looking for something that is kind of a step up maybe in reliability, or if you're tired of dealing with, I think for a lot of people, it's all of the times they have trouble with shifters in general.
Which was me. I was always messing with it. And I'm looking, I've got YouTube videos, and I'm trying to adjust this stuff, and I might get it. And then I go for a ride and I come back and it's clicking and I got some crap in it. You know, I got some weed stuck in there and before you know it's out of adjustment.
Well, and you are the guy who's going to abuse the gear.
Yeah.
No, you are. We just talked in the last episode that you should be a gear tester. People should pay you to destroy stuff because you're hard on it.
I mean, yeah.
You abuse it. But what's nice about this too, I think, is that because it's, number one, the roll off is sealed and it's a belt drive, you can hang the thing on the back of the car and not worry about, oh, is the chain going to rust, or oh, is this going to happen? You know, salt can be thrown on it. I mean, you're the guy who throws his bike on the back of his car all the time and drives around and goes to a ride.
Yeah, and can be used. Drive through rain, sleet, snow, whatever.
Right. You don't have to worry about it because the belt's never going to rust, and you never have to worry about, is it lubricated? As long as it's sealed up in that thing, it's going to be fine.
And, you know, as far as the end result, if I think back when I got the bike, it was a 1x11, I think. Then I had them put a 2x11 on. And even both setups, I was always messing with it, always having problems. No, I mean, not bad. I'm just impatient, right? Mm-hmm. And I ride it a lot.
Yeah.
And since I've put on the roll-off and the Gates belt drive, I have almost no problems. At least none of those problems.
Right, right. The other problems are self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can say, again, it's a lot of money. But to me, I think I could have spent money on other things and been far less satisfied with what I have.
Well, there are a lot of people that spend a lot more money than that on bikes, for sure. You know, they're $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 bikes. Some people are really into carbon and all kinds of other things. But this is one of those things that gets used a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's a central component to the bike, and it's...
Yeah, it's critical, but I'm real happy with it.
And it should be fair to say that there are a couple competitor, or at least one competitor. I know Shimano has one, but I think the difference is it doesn't have nearly as many gears available.
I think that's right. I think that's
something makes me think it's eight or the internet keyboard warriors will check me on that. But whereas this is 14, is that right?
Yeah,
14 gears.
And I think the other thing I might add to the pro list is just it's time tested and it's got a great reputation.
Yeah, it's been around a while. I mean, in the world of transmissions, it's probably been around the longest, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's
the roll off.
It's got the reputation.
It's a German company.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I would probably put that on the pro list as well. It's a little bit of a pedigree.
Right, for sure. So,
yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else to wrap it up?
I don't think so. I mean, again, I definitely give it my two thumbs up. And I probably should look and see how many miles I put on it, but enough to feel like I've certainly put it through the paces.
I bet it's been at least 10,000 miles.
I think so. Probably so.
I mean, if not more. That's one thing that's kind of hard to track, you know. We could talk about apps for tracking stuff at some point. That'd be a good episode, too, because I know you've been currently using a Wacom.
I've used Wahoo.
No, Wahoo. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that at some point. But it's hard to track how many miles if you don't really do it religiously and then kind of write it down somewhere, keep a total somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know how many miles you've put on any of our gear, honestly. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Really appreciate it. Give us a review, or if you want to leave a comment, Spotify is really good about having an area that you can leave comments if you listen on that application. But we're everywhere. We're on all the different apps that Spotify distributes to. Give us a follow. We certainly appreciate it. Our reviews are always helpful. And we'll see you again in the next episode.